Welcome to Closet Conversations with Cody.
This is Cody Chembars, and we are excited for another Closet Conversations devotion this morning. Just a reminder, we are live every Monday morning on Facebook Live at 8:30 in the morning. We also have a YouTube channel where we upload all of our videos every Monday morning as soon as we finish our devotion. So please enjoy today's content, and we will see you soon. Today is February the 17th, 2020, and we are live for another Closet Conversations with Cody. I'm excited to be here with you this morning. We have a great topic to cover, which is teach me how to pray. So that's right. We're going to talk about how to pray today. But before we do that, I want to make an official announcement. I did announce on Thursday, but if you have not heard, we have welcomed our fourth little one to this world. His name is Joseph Liam. He came into the world on Thursday at 4:57. So he has just been a bundle of joy, just a wonderful blessing. Everyone's doing wonderful. We actually delivered him here at home, and it was incredible. It was absolutely incredible. Just the peace of God, the joy of God. The children were able to be there. And it couldn't have went more perfect. So we are just praising God, blessing his name for just letting us have a wonderful pregnancy and a wonderful delivery. And shout out to Charlotte. She was our midwife from Atlanta Midwives and just was a support system and just incredible. So it was a wonderful weekend, just spent bonding and having family time, taking care of the little ones and just getting the love on Joseph. So it was great. But I'm happy to be here with you this morning. The time is 8:51, and we're going to go ahead and hop into our conversation today. And the title of today's message, which I've already talked about, was Teach Me How to Pray. And so, you know, I wanted to talk about, we've covered how to pray before on Closet Conversations. We've talked about how you can use the Lord's Prayer to really help you dive in and pray for an hour, which is what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he continuously asked his disciples twice, actually. He says, "Can you not tarry with me for an hour?" And so, remember, the goal is to pray with longevity, but it's also the heart posture. So it's the posture of where you're coming from when you pray. I can remember back in 2011, 2012, when we were being discipled by a mighty man of God, I got into this routine of trying to force myself to pray, and it became religious versus more of a relationship. So I always tell people, especially when, you know, we're discipling some newer Christians, I always tell people, it's not about the longevity. Yes, yes, yes. We want to be able to pray for an hour. We want to be able to pray for more than that. But when you're getting started, what the enemy will do is he'll try to condemn you. He'll try to condemn you and say, well, you're not praying long enough. And then what happens is that voice overpowers everything that you're doing, and then you just feel defeated. And then you don't even pray anymore because you just get frustrated. Well, I'm not doing it long enough, so I'm just going to not pray, period. And then all of a sudden, everything starts coming against you. And so I can send you that. I have that template on how to use the Lord's Prayer to pray for an hour. But what I wanted to do is just share from our personal experience. I wanted to share how we have taught our children to pray. And Christiana and I were talking about it this morning. She's like, well, it's not a formula that you can follow, and it's not something to be religious about. And I said, honey, that's not it. The reality is, and maybe you'll agree with me, if you don't pray or you're not praying the way that you feel like God has called you to pray, the reality is you probably don't know what to pray or how to pray. And it's not uncommon. Before I was discipled and before, you know, I really started digging deep into the things of God, I didn't pray. I didn't know how to pray. And so I used that as an excuse to not pray. And that's not acceptable. And so, you know, the goal is today is just to be transparent and to tell you, to teach you how we teach our children to pray. And I'll tell you, Grace is 6.5. She'll be 7 this year in May. Reagan's almost 5. And then Oliver's 3. Each one of them have their own different abilities. And I want to share that. I'm not trying to delay, but Grace is older. So Grace has more understanding, more of a memory, and she is able to pray more and remember more without assistance from us. Reagan is eager, and Reagan loves to pray, and Reagan prays wonderfully, but she still needs some assistance to remember what comes next through our prayer. And then Oliver is in the part where he is repeating what we're praying. And so I say all that to say, wherever you're at, you may have just come to have a relationship with Jesus, and you may be that part where you are repeating what we're going to talk about today. That's all right. You may be the part where Reagan is you've got a general understanding of how to pray, but you're going to implement some of this today, and your prayer is going to go through the roof. And you may be where Grace is and know how to pray, and you may be able to pull some of these things out. And maybe you're going to be able to tell me something to add to our prayer time when we pray with the kids. Amen? Amen. So wherever you're at, don't get discouraged. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. When you pray, you are doing direct damage to the kingdom of darkness. That's why he wants to attack you. That's why he wants to afflict you. That's why he wants to tell you those lies. Because if you are praying, that means you're not looking on Facebook. That means you're not looking at things that you don't need to look at. That means you're not gossiping about somebody. That means you're not whatever, fill in the blank. You are doing direct damage because you are taking time that you could be doing somewhere else, and you are saying, Father, I want to communicate with you. I may not know how to do it, but my heart and my affections are towards you. Okay? Amen. All right. So the first thing that we do when we pray at night is we always, 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 always start off with thanking him. We thank him. We'll thank him for some of the things that we're able to experience throughout the day. Like Thursday, for example, we just thanked him for a wonderful birth. We thanked him for our new baby. We thanked him for the provision. We thank him. Psalm 104, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So we enter into the gates of where he is at, into his presence, with thanksgiving. So when you're praying, don't just come out and just say, God, I need this. You know, I need this. Lord, make this happen. It's not how it works. And we know this. He's not a genie in a bottle. You know this. I'm not trying to be funny. But we enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So we start out, Lord, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for the divine appointment that you allowed me to have at Walmart today. Thank you for the wisdom that you shared. Thank you for watching over my family today. So we start out every single night with thanksgiving, and even the kids know that. And sometimes Reagan and Grace used to do it too. Sometimes Reagan just says, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for everything that Holy Spirit brings to her mind. And sometimes we won't even cover the rest of what we're going to talk about. And she'll just say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. It's the heart of gratitude, and we're thanking him for everything that he's done, and we're praising him. That thanks is really praise. We are praising him. So we always start out with our prayer time with thanksgiving. So that's the first step. Just if that's all you do, listen to me, beloved. If that is all you do is thank him for the things that he's given you, that's enough. Do you hear me? That is enough, because we are showing our gratitude towards him. Amen. So once we finish thanking him, and that can go on for a couple of minutes. It could go be a few things, a couple of things. It could be a multitude of things, like I said earlier, where Reagan is just thanking him for all the things that we've done. Then we're going to move on to breaking off curses over ourselves that people have spoken over the day. And so we've covered some of this in the last two Mondays on how to confess and break those off. But I'm just going to tell you, this is what we say. So Father, we thank you for being a good father. We break off every curse, hex, vex, spell,
and incantations spoken against us today, and we break those in the name of Jesus. We cancel their assignment. May they be found void in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, we receive your blessings. We receive your abundance in Jesus' name. Okay, so we break off those curses. Why? Well, Cody, you may be saying, Cody, no one's cursed me today. Remember last week, there's power of death and life in your tongue. You may have spoken a curse against yourself today or the day, that day. Yes. You may have spoken a curse. Oh, I can't do it. Or I am not good enough. Or I'm X, fill in the blank. That's a curse. You got to cancel that. That's death coming out of your tongue. Remember in James 3, it says blessings and cursings come out of your mouth. So we've got to break those curses off. And then anybody that you've come in contact with that may have spoken a curse against you, not knowingly, not in a fashion trying to harm you, but they spoke it, you've got to break that off. Because if you don't break it off and you came in agreement with it, then the enemy now has legal right to use it against you. Does that make sense? So you're just breaking off the curses and you're saying, I receive your blessings, Lord. Let your blessings come to me in Jesus' name. And once we transition from breaking curses off and spells and all that, we're going to move into assigning angels around our property. And this may be completely new to you, but I want you to go read in Hebrews 1 and then go to Psalm 91. Excuse me. The Bible actually says that the angels are ministering spirits to help us, the children of God. And so if they're designed and they were created to help us, then we've got to use them. And so they know, even Oliver knows, we got to assign angels. So we assign link angels around the edges of our property. Why do we do that? I read a book once. It was called He Came to Set the Captive Free. And this book is actually about a former queen of Satan. She was one of four queens in the United States. And she said she was actually leaving her body and going to attack this Christian family. And she said when her and all the other spirits, the people that were casting their spirits, when she got to this house, there were link angels around the property that were so big that none of their curses and the things that they were casting towards the family could even penetrate. And so once I read that, I'm like, oh, we're assigning link angels around our property. Amen. So we assign link angels all around the edges of our property and we position them. We say, you get yourself in position all the way around our property. And then we also assign angels near each of our beds so that way they can guard us while we sleep. Because the enemy doesn't stop. The enemy wants to afflict us even in our dreams. Even in our dreams, he wants to try to influence us and find an open door or create an open door. And so we've got to be careful. We've got to guard ourselves from the attacks of the enemy. And this is part of it. So once we assign the angels to our beds, then what we're going to do is we apply the blood of Jesus over our home, our property, our bodies, our minds, and our dreams. And so we just apply the blood, the bloodline, just like in Exodus where God sent out and killed all the firstborns of the Egyptians. Those that had the blood on the doorposts, they were spared. And that's part of the blood covenant. Because we are under the blood of Jesus Christ, we are spared from the wrath. And that's just an extra covering on top of us to protect us from the wiles and the fiery darts of the enemy. Amen. Are you tracking so far? I'm not trying to go too fast. I don't want to be on too long today. And so once we talk about cover ourselves with the blood, we always ask God, give us dreams and visions of you. Give us dreams and visions of you. God still speaks through dreams and visions. And so there, like Grace, for example, she said God showed her in her dream that we were going to have a little boy. What did we have? We had a little boy. And so God works through that. He is able to minister and talk to us through our dreams. So we ask, Lord, give us dreams and visions of you. We want to see you. We want to hear your wisdom and your understanding. Teach us. And so we pray that every night. Once we assign our angels and once we apply the blood to us, then we go to put on our armor. And the armor is found in Ephesians 6, if you want to go and study that. I have taught the children, we have taught our children to actually put the armor on like you're putting it on. And you say, Cody, you may be a little kooky. I'm not kooky. I am training warriors. And so if I'm going to train warriors, they need to put their armor on. And they need to actually feel like they're putting the armor on. So I start from the top to the bottom, however you want to do it. Ephesians goes a little bit different in Ephesians 6. It goes a little bit different. But I put it on. We've taught the kids to start from the top and go down. So I actually put on the helmet of salvation. I put it on. I put on the breastplate of righteousness and I buckle it. I take up my shield of faith and I actually feel, and I've taught them to feel the weight of it. It's in the natural, but in the spiritual, which you can't see, you've got a big shield here, and the shield is to reflect and to defend you from the fiery darts of the enemy. So I pick it up. I step on the ground or lean down on the ground and I just pick it up. And then I take the sword of the Spirit and I grip it and I put it in the kids' hands. And then I've also taught them to just do a couple of thrusts forward. So if anything's sitting there trying to attack you or afflict you, they're done with the sword of the Spirit. And then you go and put on the belt of truth, the boots of the gospel of the good news. Now, two things that we've added that it doesn't talk about in Ephesians, we put on the robe of vengeance. So I put on the robe of vengeance, and you can find that in Isaiah. And then we put on the cloak of divine passion so that we are fully equipped. We are ready for war. And you may ask, well, Cody, why do you put the armor on at night? It doesn't matter. You put it on once every 24 hours, so we put ours on at night. If you want to incorporate prayer time with your children in the morning, put your armor on in the morning. It doesn't matter. But we're going to sleep. We're sleeping. We are the most vulnerable when we sleep. Why would you not want your armor on, right? So however you want to do it, again, I'm just telling you how we pray. You go and make it your own. I'm just here to help you pray. Amen? Amen. So once we move on from the armor, then what we're going to do is we're going to talk. Sometimes we discuss the names of God. And so they need to know who their Father is. So we'll talk about Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh is your provider. Jehovah Nisi is your banner. Jehovah Rapha is my healer. Jehovah Shalom is my peace. So we're going to go through and we're going to talk about the names of God, who their Father is, and the qualities and characteristics of who he is. So they know if they're having a tough time and they need peace, they can call on Jehovah Shalom. And so we'll cover that. We'll go through and talk about the names of God. And then what we'll do is we'll ask God, and this is Ollie's favorite. He's been taking this over during prayer time. We ask God to water the fruit of the Spirit. And that can be found in Galatians. And so if you want to go to Galatians, I think it's Galatians 5, where you're going to ask God to water the fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now you say, well, why do we water the fruit? It's fruit. It needs to be watered. We ask that Holy Spirit would water it. How does God or Holy Spirit water our fruit? He gives us situations where we're able to operate in each of those areas. Where we're having a trouble with a sibling, if Grace is upset at Reagan or Reagan's upset at Ollie, are they showing love? We can go back to the fruit and remind them that this is the fruit of the Spirit. This is how Jesus walked and talked. So are we being like Jesus? And I don't have to scold them. We don't have to get onto them and say, don't treat your brother like that. Are you showing the fruit of the Spirit? Amen. Amen. So then once we move on from the fruit, we actually talk about the Ten Commandments. You say, Cody, well, the Ten Commandments are gone. We're under the Jesus covenant, the new covenant. No, beloved, no. The Ten Commandments are a set of laws that are meant to keep us happy, healthy, and safe. happy, healthy, and safe. So we talk about the Ten Commandments, and those can be found in Exodus 20. So first commandment, that you shall have no other gods before me. Now, you don't have to sit there and read it straight out of the Bible. We've made it simple for the kids to remember, and it's easy for us to remember. So it doesn't have to be KJV version of thou shall not have no other gods before me. Make it simple, especially if you're praying with your children. And so first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Second commandment, we shall not create any false idols. Third, we shall keep the name of God holy. Fourth, we are called to honor the Sabbath. Fifth, honor your mother and father. Sixth, thou shalt not murder. Seven, thou shalt not commit adultery. Eight, thou shalt not steal. Nine, thou shalt not bear false witness or tell a lie. And 10, thou shalt not covet what your neighbor has. And so some nights we'll actually go in and talk about the Ten Commandments. And what does murder mean? Not in the sense of taking someone's life, but getting mad at somebody and saying, I hate you, or being rude to somebody. That's committing, it's according to Jesus, that's committing murder in your heart. We kind of skip over the adultery part. We'll get to that a little bit later. But we'll talk about stealing, because they may see something at a friend's house and want it. Or lying. All of the last four are really good to cover with your children, praying with them at night. And then coveting is not being jealous what other people have. Be thankful for what God has given you. Amen. Amen. So once we go from the Ten Commandments, then what we'll do is we'll transition into asking God to forgive us of our sins. And it's very, very simple. Lord, just forgive us for our sins. We've committed sins against you today. And Father, we ask for forgiveness for ones that we knowingly and unknowingly committed against you. And we thank you for Jesus forgiving us for our sins. We thank you for him dying on a cross. And Lord, we thank you for Holy Spirit. We thank you for his guidance and his wisdom and his grace and his mercy. And Lord, we praise you. And so we will ask for forgiveness of our sins. And then one of the last things that we do, and this kind of shifts around wherever the kids are led, but we actually go through and we say the Lord's Prayer. We say the Lord's Prayer because they need to know the Lord's Prayer. So the Lord's Prayer is, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And once we finish with the Lord's Prayer, then we'll go in and we'll pray for those that we know that don't know Jesus. And we ask that God would send workers to their field. If we go back and look at the time that Jesus was talking to his disciples, he says the harvest is ripe, the field is ripe, but the workers are few. And so a lot of the times, just like in Jesus's day, a prophet is not welcome in their own hometown. The reality of me leading my own family to Jesus is slim to none, because a prophet is not welcome in their own home. So instead, what we do is we ask that God would use us to minister to them, but that God would send workers to their fields, and that God would send divine appointments to go and minister to our family members and people that friends and family that don't know Jesus, that they would have an encounter with them. And then we finish by praying for our church and for those that just a kind of a blanket prayer, just church in our country, and just say, Lord, we need you to pour out your Spirit over us so we can be found obedient and go and tell people about Jesus. And that's it. And then we close with more thanksgiving. We just thank him for the sleep, the rest. We thank him that it's going to be a peaceful night. And we thank him for all the treasures and things that he has planned for us tomorrow. One thing I want to incorporate, and I'm going to tell you this, but we're going to start incorporating it, is pray that God, the story that God has written in heaven for each of us, would come to pass no matter what. Get us out of the way. So basically, the book of life in heaven for you, the plans that God has, that you were created as workmanship, predestined, all those verses, let those come to pass. Even if I say no, even if I'm disobedient, I want the plans of God for our lives, for my kids' lives, for Christiana's life, for my life. I want them come to pass no matter what. And so we're going to start incorporating that. And then there's so much more that you can go through, but it's all about just praying. Just pray. So our simple little, I don't know what you want to call it. It's not a formula, but our simple template. It's not about a religious attitude. It's about we are taking our time. The other thing I wanted to mention, because we had to do this last night, with children especially, they tend to like to kind of walk around the room or fidget with a toy or talk or try to do something. One thing that we've just started incorporating, just started a couple days ago, is we are giving God honor and glory and the attention that he deserves. So we're actually going to get prostrate on the ground, or we're going to get on our hands and knees, or we're going to lay flat on the bed. We're not doing anything else when we're praying. So especially with young children, you may not be able to work up to that right now, but make sure that they're not distracted when they're praying, because they're learning from you. Everything that you're doing, everything that Christian and I are doing, the kids are going to do in excess. So if we're going to teach them how to pray, and if they're seeing us pray, they're going to do that in excess. So just start out, if you haven't been praying with your children, start out with this template and work into not letting them do anything else besides putting their attention and affection on the King of Kings. Amen. Amen. Well, I've given you a lot today. I'm going to have this up on the YouTube channel and the podcast. So if you want to go back and listen to that and go through and jot some notes down, do that. That will help you. If you want me to text you, I can text you, send me a message on Messenger. And then if you want that prayer guide on breaking down the Lord's Prayer and teaching you how to pray, I can send that to you as well. Just send me a private message. I'll send it to you. But I'm going to sign off. You have a wonderful day. We will see you next Monday. Blessings to you guys. Love you very much.
We trust that today's message blessed you. And if it did, please send it to somebody who really needs to hear it. Have a blessed day.